presence of each one of you, as already said, especially those that are visiting with us. We hope that you'll come back and be with us at every opportunity you have. I encourage you to take your Bibles out, follow along with me, make sure that what I'm saying is in harmony with the Bible. I'll do my very best to give you book, chapter, and verse for the things that I say, not to go beyond what the Bible says or fall short of it, or to substitute for it in any way. We began this morning by talking about some divine stipulations. We talked about five of them this morning, just to jog your memory. We talked about the Bible saying, if a man speak, from 1 Peter 4:11, if these things be in you, if thou put the brethren in remembrance of these things, if you keep yourselves, and then we ended the sermon by talking about Romans 6 and then verse 5, when Paul penned, if we have been planted together in the likeness of His death, we'll be in the likeness of His resurrection. So we're going to continue by this evening talking about some more Bible stipulations, divine stipulations. And next week we'll probably change gears and talk about something else and then finish this sermon a couple of weeks from now as we do 10 more points in those two sermons. So at the end of tonight you'll have 10 divine stipulations. There's outlines that I put in the back we ran out this morning, so you can get up and get you one or on your way out, however you want to do that. Tonight I want us to think about a divine stipulation that is found in the book of 1 John chapter 1 and then verse 7. Appreciate the good feedback I got from the lesson this morning concerning the lesson. That's an encouragement to me. All of this is very simple things. Nothing difficult to be understood at all. In 1 John chapter 1, verse 7, the Bible says, but if we walk in the light, as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanseth us from all sins. The Bible talks about the fact that we can have fellowship with the Father and with His Son. 1 John chapter 1, verse 3 talks about that. And we have fellowship one with another. And so our fellowship not only goes from us upward to the Father, but it also goes to one another. But it's on the stipulation that we do what? That we walk in the light as He is in the light. You see, the problem is so many times we try to fellowship those with whom the Father doesn't fellowship. And we simply can't do that. When an individual has themselves in such a position that they are no longer in fellowship with God, guess what that does to our fellowship? It severs it. And so we cannot be in the business of extending fellowship with individuals whom God does not fellowship. See how that works? And so our fellowship even with one another is on the basis, on the stipulation, on the condition. Remember, that's what a stipulation is, a condition that is set forth. It is on the condition that we walk in the light. We've got to do what the Bible says to do. I hope, ladies and gentlemen, that you will never settle for doing anything that you don't have biblical authority for. If we cannot put our finger on what the Bible says, we cannot practice it. We must not practice it. If we do, we won't be walking in the light. If we do, we cannot have fellowship one with another. If we do, we don't have fellowship with the Father. And I hope we appreciate that. In the book of 2 John, verse 6. 2 John, verse 6. This is love, that we walk. We just talked about walking in the light. Now notice what he says. That we walk after His commandments. This is the commandment, that as ye have heard from the beginning, that you should walk in it. You think about the multitude of people today who believe in the false doctrine of the perseverance of the saints. Once saved, always saved. You become a Christian, then you can't do anything to fall from grace. What do they do with passages like this that necessitate us walking in the light, that we must walk in the light? They would say that it has no consequence. It can't have any consequence so far as a relationship with God. If you can't fall from grace, then it make no difference whether you walk in the light or out of the light. Would it? In the book of Colossians, as Paul is writing to the church of Christ at Colossae, notice what he says. Colossians chapter 2 and in verse 6. Colossians chapter 2 And verse 6 says, "You have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord." And they were Christians. They had. Now watch this. "So walk ye in Him." How are we doing tonight? Walking in Him. Walking in the, after the commandment of God. Walking in the light. Doing all right with that? I hope we are. But as you think about divine stipulations, come with me to the book of John, chapter 13. If I were to ask you, are you a disciple of Christ? Disciple means learner, by the way, a follower. And the name given to the disciples in the New Testament was Christians. Acts chapter 11, verse 26, the disciples were called Christians first at Antioch. Have you obeyed? Are you following? Are you a learner of His? In the book of John, chapter 13, verse 35, Jesus said this. Let's back up to verse 34. "A new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples." Now stop right there. Jesus said, "By this," He's talking to the apostles, to the disciples, "by this shall all men know that ye are my disciples." Now how's the world going to know? How would you answer that? What is a testament to the fact that you are a disciple, a learner, a follower of the Lord? You ready for a divine stipulation? Keep reading. "By this shall all men know that you are my disciples if what, Lord? If you have love one toward another." I recently talked with you about love. And we need more of it today. Probably the most three commonly used words that are just said habitually is "I love you." Now we ought to be able to say "I love you" to others and one another and to others, but be genuine about it. And you know what is an expression of genuine faith, or genuine love rather? Not just simply saying "I love you." I mean, anybody can say that. But it's like we read about over the book of 1 John chapter 3, verse 18. "Little children, let us not love in word or in tongue." What's the rest of that? "But in deed and in truth." That's an expression of genuine love. It's expressed by our action. By doing, like someone has once said, "You don't have to tell me you love me, you show me that you did." And people will see that. And so the Lord is saying, "By this shall all men know that you are my disciples, if you have love one toward another." Folks outside these four walls, pay attention to how we treat one another. Did you know that? We get to bickering with one another and fighting with one another. You know who's going to take note of that? Folks around us. The devil. And he'll use it. I guarantee you. He'll use it. Don't be that way. Have love one toward another. But if you flip on over from John chapter 3, a couple of chapters, to John chapter 15, and then verse 14. John 15, verse 14. You want to be a friend of the Lord? Would you count yourself a friend of the Lord or an enemy of the Lord? Well, most people would probably want to say, "Preacher, I'm a friend of the Lord." You know there's a divine stipulation put with that? Read it for yourself. John 15, verse 14. "Ye are my friends if you do whatsoever I command you." Now that might get us to stop and think the next time we want to be so quick as to say, "I'm a friend of the Lord." Well, am I doing His commandments? Am I doing what He would have me to do? If I'm not, then I'm not a friend of the Lord. Now, if I'm not a friend of the Lord, then guess what? It only leaves one place to be. I'd be an enemy of the Lord. Sometimes I preach a sermon, I think I've done it here at least once, "A World Divided." And we talk about a friend of the Lord and enemy of the Lord. On the Lord's side, not on the Lord's side. The list just goes on. It's a good sermon. I enjoy preaching. I hope you remember some of it. You're my friends if you do whatsoever I command you. But someone says, well, preacher, I'm really not against all that religious stuff. I'm not against what Jesus would have people to be doing. I'm just not so sure I agree with all this organized religion business people kick against today. I believe I can be a Christian, just stay at home. I'm persuaded. I'm talking to a group of people tonight who won't have that. You know how I can at least take a guess as to how you won't have that? Because you're here. You could have been at home. But you said, I'm going tonight. And I commend you for coming. In James chapter 4 and in verse 4, James says, you adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity, that means at odds with, against, is enmity with God. James 4:4. Now watch this. Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is an enemy of God. Do not try to serve God and the world at the same time. It never has, never will work. Matthew chapter 6, verse 24, when Jesus said, man can't serve two masters, either he'll hate the one or despise the other, hold to the one and not the other, you cannot serve God and mammon. Matthew 6, verse 24. You're my friends, if ye do whatsoever I've commanded you. I want you to think about that before we move on. A lot of folks today will do a lot of what the Lord says, but they stop and they won't go on and do all that the Lord said to do. I want you to think about that. You say, well, I don't know anyone that would do that. I know plenty of people that will do that. I know a lot of people that will say, you know what, I love my enemies. The Lord said to love our enemies in Matthew chapter 6, and indeed He did, Matthew 5 and 6 and other places. And they say, you know what, the Lord said to do good unto all men. In Galatians chapter 6, verse 10, Paul penned it, but he did so by inspiration of the Holy Spirit, and I do good to other people. The Lord said to pray without ceasing. 1 Thessalonians 5, 17, I pray on a regular basis. But then they'll kick against very simple things that the Lord said to do as well. Like he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. Mark 16, verse 16. And they'll say, I just won't have it. I had a study with an individual that had good study. 4 weeks at least, maybe more. And this is some years back, and he would not obey the gospel. He'd been baptized in the past, but it wasn't for the remission of his sins. It wasn't into the one body of the New Testament, which is the Church of Christ that you read about on the pages of the Bible. And we concluded the study, and I asked him if he was ready. And he said, I did it before, I'm not going to do it again. And he hasn't to this day. Knowing, studying what the Lord said. You see that? If you love me, keep my commandments. We'll talk about that in another point. But if you want to be a friend of the Lord, you've got to do what the Lord said to do. Not part, not some, not a few. But whatsoever I command you, the Lord said. And that includes everything. But in 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 12, for number 4. Tonight, number 9. Total, this morning and tonight. In 2 Corinthians chapter 8, and in verse 12, Paul's talking to them about giving. He talks about, in verse 1, moreover, brethren, we do you to wit of the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia, how that in a great trial and affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded into the riches of their liberality. And they gave, first willing to give of themselves, verse 3. And in verse 12, he says, for if there be first a willing mind, it is accepted according that to a man hath, and not according to that he hath not. God has never expected individuals to do what they are not able to do. Did you know that? He's never required of you to do more than what you're able to do, to give more than what you're able to give. So you've got to have first a willing mind. This morning we were able to give of our means. Those that are members here that would not have opportunity this morning to do that, you still have an opportunity to do that. And by the way, on the first day of the week is the only time that God has expected of us to give into a common collection that the work of the local church might go on. 1 Corinthians 16, verses 1 and 2. In 2 Corinthians chapter 9 and in verse 7, every man according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. What you give is between you and the Lord. You'll give an account unto Him. I don't need to know. All I do is encourage all of us to give as God has prospered us and to be cheerful about it and to purpose what we're giving. For God loveth a cheerful giver. Don't give grudgingly. If there first be a willing mind, it is counted according to what a man hath and not to what he doesn't. Last point. In the book of Galatians chapter 6 and in verse 9, when Paul is writing to the churches of Galatia,
Daddy,
notice what he says. Let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap. Now think this before we read on. That's a direct connection to what he had mentioned in verse 7. Be not deceived, God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. And then he would say then in verse 9, let us not be weary and well do it, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. Some versions say if we do not lose heart. I think the New King James Version renders it that way. But don't lose heart. Don't faint. Don't fall. Don't stop. Don't stall. Keep on doing what God would have you to do. Over in the book of Revelation chapter 3 and in verse 11. The Lord said, behold, I come quickly. Hold fast that which thou hast, that no man take thy crown. In due season we shall reap if we faint not. Appreciate your good attention this evening. Should you be in the assembly tonight, having never obeyed the gospel of Christ, you have opportunity to do that. Yesterday is gone, tomorrow may never be. The only time that you have is right now. So I ask you, have you obeyed? Are you a Christian? What must I do to be saved? The most important question you could ever ask. Like Saul of Tarsus asking, Acts 9, verse 7, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? Like the jailer asked in Acts 16, verse 31, sirs, what must I do to be saved? Well, you do what they did in New Testament times to be saved. It's never changed. You may hear a lot of things talked about today as to how one becomes a Christian. I'll tell you how they became a Christian in the New Testament. They first began by hearing the Word of God. You cannot obey what you don't know. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God, Romans 10, 17. By believing it. Do you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God? Jesus said, except you believe that I am He, you shall die in your sins, John 8, 24. Repenting, that means turning from your sins. Turning from the ways of the world. Changing your mind about what you've been doing. It's evidenced by a change of life. Lord said if we don't do that, if we don't repent, we'll perish. Luke 13, 3 and 5. John the Immerser said, bring forth therefore fruits worthy of repentance. We must confess our faith like the eunuch did in Acts 8, 37 when he said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and be baptized for the remission of our sins. Acts 2:38, where the blood of Jesus Christ washes away all of our sins. Revelation 1:5, and we can arise to walk in newness of life, having been added to the one body of the New Testament, the Church of Christ. See how simple that is? I can't offer you anything different. If I did, I'd be falling short or going beyond what the Scripture is saying. I'm not about to do that. But maybe you're here tonight and you have done that. You've not been faithful as you should. You realize you're not faithful. You went back out into the ways of the world, but you want to come home. You want to be restored. You must repent of your unfaithfulness, make confession to God in prayer, 1 John 1:9. We have His assurance He'll forgive us. If you want to respond to the invitation, don't hesitate. There's delay or danger in delay. Come forth right now.